The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 13, Oh for a Giant Bottle of Coppertone. While we rode to AVA headquarters, Bruce kept me clamped to his lap with a hand the size of a dinner plate, but lightly. I looked up at him to watch for any sign of laxness, not that I would know what to do if it came. He was one of those pasty-faced redheads, skin really white, red-orange hair. Bruce's was cropped close, about a claw length, and thinning at the front. He glanced down at me. His eyes, set close together, were an icy cold blue, the kind you see in some Siamese. But Bruce had a surprise for me. He gave me a small smile, and used his other hand to scratch me behind the ears. It was clear that he'd been a good associate for a cat in the past, because his touch was expert. Nothing beats a good ear scratch. However, his grip with his imprisoning hand never let up. When we got to the AVA building, Bruce carried me while Sammy led the way up to the top floor and into a big corner office. When we got there, Bruce sat on a couch and held me in his lap. He also gave me a scratch under the chin. Man, that felt good. The little man went behind the desk and plopped into a big leather chair. He looked at his watch and said,
5 hours until dawn. Vera, I want you to give that woman's lawyers a call and tell them that she has until then to get here.
Vera paced, her brow furrowed by a deep frown.
And what happens if she shows up, Sammy?
For the safety of the American Vampire Association and all those we represent, she will be held incommunicado until after the elections.
Bruce said a word. Kitty? All heads turned his way. Sammy and Vera gaped at him. Sammy said,
I didn't know you could talk.
Bruce nodded. I wondered if he had exhausted his vocabulary. But if he could only know one word, Kitty was a good one. Sammy shrugged.
The cat is safe as long as he gives us leverage over Meg.
Vera stopped pacing.
And when he doesn't?
Well, what use is a vampire cat anyway? If we turn it loose, it'll just run around giving a bad name to vampires.
One corner of his mouth turned up as he gazed at me. On Meg, it would have been a wry grin. On Sammy, it was sardonic.
I said it before, Sammy. This is wrong.
Vera sat in a big chair, but on the edge of the seat. I caught just the tiniest of nods from Sammy to Bruce, who moved to stand behind her. She said,
Vampire versus vampire is not what the AVA is supposed to be about.
Sammy's basso profundo voice upped in pitch.
They're against us. Exposing us to the world. Making trouble. That's what's wrong.
But what Meg says makes sense to me. We're still people. We should still have rights, but we never will if we hide under a rock.
She glanced at Bruce.
I hate being cooped up here all the time.
Bruce nodded. The man had become a whirlwind of communication. Sammy snorted.
Cooped up. You don't have to be cooped up. There are plenty of places open at night. Walmart, gas stations, lots of places.
That is not a life, Sammy.
Yeah? Well, you don't have one anyway, so what's the problem?
I want one. I was a successful file clerk before this happened to me, and proud of it.
She stood.
I'll call the lawyers, Sammy, but to tell them to come down and get the cat back. And then I think you should call the board together and get the AVA to join Meg's campaign for vampire rights. Isn't that what we really should be about?
Sammy drew in a breath and sighed.
No, it's not. We're about safety. Security. We're about what I want.
Vera said.
Well, not anymore.
She turned to go, but Sammy nodded and Bruce grabbed her by the neck. Shaking his head, Sammy stood.
Vera, Vera, Vera. What will we do with you?
He smiled.
I know. You'll help the kitty cats send our message to that woman.
He strode to the door.
To the roof.
Bruce shifted his grip from Vera's neck to her arm. Sammy peered out the office door and said,
Now, nobody's around.
We hurried up a flight of stairs to the roof. The lights of Bloomsburg spread out around us. An iron-barred cage sat next to an air-conditioning tower. When we got closer to it, I saw a skeleton inside it. Sammy looked down at the bones.
Hello, Gunther. I'm so glad you stopped trying to take over the AVA.
Vera said, Gunther? I thought you said he moved to Cleveland.
Yeah, and I still can't believe you bought that. Who'd want to move to Cleveland?
To Bruce, he said,
Put them in.
Vera said,
You can't do this.
Now, I've heard those very same words in countless movies when a bad guy is about to do something nasty. And I always thought it was a stupid thing to say because the bad guy had all the power and could do whatever he wanted, and did. However, on this occasion, I appreciated the effort. It didn't do us any more good than it had the people in the movies, of course. Sammy unlocked a big padlock on the cage and opened the door. Bruce flung Vera in. Sammy gestured.
The cat, too.
Bruce hesitated. Sammy clouded up and said,
You want me to cut off your blood supply, dummy? Put you back on the street to hunt and sleep in the dirt like you were when I found you?
Bruce said,
Sorry, kitty.
And he lowered me into the cage, careful not to drop me. Vera picked me up and held me to her.
Someday, Sammy, you're gonna regret this.
I'd heard those words in movies, too. Often they turned out to be true, and I hoped they were for Sammy. But I didn't think I'd be around to see it happen. Sammy locked the padlock.
I'll be back tomorrow night to take a few photos of what's left, so little Meg will finally get it. Vampires don't belong out in the real world.
After hours of screaming for help and rattling the bars of our cage, Vera sat slumped in a corner. I noticed that the night sky was not so dark to the east. A few minutes later, my nose and eyes started to itch. Vera roused and stared at the horizon. She gripped the bars and screamed,
No, no, please!
After a few more hopeless minutes, she turned to me. She sat back into her corner and held her arms out.
Come here, Patch.
Curious as usual, I wondered what she wanted. Anything to keep my thoughts away from what was coming. I remembered the agony that had come from the television lights, and I didn't want to think about what might be on the way with real sunlight. I went to her, and she gathered me into her arms. It was comforting. I found myself wishing for Meg, and hoping that she wouldn't let Sammy get away with this. My eyes and nose burned, and Vera whimpered. Without warning, she put me on the surface of the roof and then lay down on top of me. I struggled to get out, but stopped when she lifted up, petted my head, and said,
Stay there, Patch. Maybe one of us will get out of this.
I settled down, and she lowered her body on top of me. It was utterly dark, and the burning stopped. There was no danger of suffocating, of course, with no breathing necessary. Then she screamed. A man's voice joined Vera's with a long, screaming yell.
No!
Vera raised up. It wasn't bright daylight yet, but there was still way too much sun. Sammy sailed into the cage, banged off the back wall of bars, and fell to the floor. Then my eyes clamped shut. A big hand gripped me and pulled me out of the cage. I heard the cage door clang shut, and then whoever had me ran. A door slammed shut behind me and the sun pane went away. Someone was crying. I opened my eyes. We were inside the stairwell that led to the roof, dimly lit by a single light bulb. Vera leaned against the wall. Her skin looked red and inflamed. She let out a long, shuddering breath, looked at whoever held me, and said,
Thank you, Bruce.
I twisted and looked up. Bruce pulled back a sweatshirt hood and took off a pair of dark glasses. Where the hood hadn't covered his face, the skin was red like Vera's. Gloves protected his hands, and the rest of him was covered. He lowered me to a step and said, Kitty okay? Thanks to Vera, and to the fact that I'm a fur-bearing creature, I was fine except for a little itching where my skin was most exposed, my nose and ears. I gave Bruce a rub against the legs. He said, "Aww." Vera tugged on her dress to straighten it, then smiled up at him. "I thought my life had ended when I was affected with the V-bug, but now I'm real glad you helped me to hold on to what little I have left." I seconded the motion with another rub against Bruce, and then started down the stairs. Vera followed, and Bruce came behind her. Meg's voice yelled, "Where is he?" When Vera opened the door, I scooted out into the office area. Meg raged along an aisle of cubicles, poking her head into each one. "Where is Patch?" Tim and Tom trailed her. I filled my lungs with air and gave a plaintive meow, the one that sounded helpless. It was just one of a cat's repertoire that pushes people's buttons. "I'm hungry. Feed me. Feed me now, damn it. Let me out. I agree." And so on. I guess it's a century's association. I don't have to think about it. It's just part of my vocabulary. The burn of bloodlust ignited in my belly, and I added the "I'm hungry" meow. Meg rushed to me and scooped me up. Vera and Bruce stepped from the stairwell. Meg said, "You bastards!" She looked around. "Where's Sammy? I want a piece of that little worm." Vera said, "He's in a place where he won't be a bother." She rubbed her belly and then looked up at Bruce. "How about a little snack, big guy?" He nodded. Bruce gave new meaning to the word taciturn. I gave Meg a lick on the wrist. She looked down at me, stroked my head, and, of course, I forgot what I'd been about to say. I gave her the "feed me" meow. "Oh, you poor baby." Bless those centuries of mutual conditioning. She turned and led the bunch of us to the break room, and soon there was warm blood all around. I'd finished my bowl of V1 juice and lay on the floor, enjoying the rush. Vera explained what had happened with Sammy to Meg and the lawyer twins. She held Bruce's hand the whole time, and he looked at her like, well, like he had looked at me. I wasn't jealous, though. Things were pretty hunky-dory. Whoop-whoops and wails of sirens penetrated the room. I wondered what a vampire had to do to get a little rest around here. Vera led the way to a room down the hall, and the rest of us followed. In the room, a bank of monitors showed views all around the outside of the building. I jumped up on a desk to see better. The street in front of the building was packed with police cars and vans, their colored lights flashing and blinking. A van opened and big guys in black uniforms, each carrying a rifle, trotted out and headed for the entrance. Office workers gathered around us and stared at the monitors. Vera scanned the crowd and said, "Anybody here order a SWAT team?" The song is "Dire Wolf" from "Reckoning" by the Grateful Dead. For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.